So my thinking is the lights go down and this riff kicks in. And then when the beat kicks in, the kabuki drops and you're off to Gator Country, Buster.
Oh, yeah. You're in Gator Country now. Dude, yeah, this is not this what the cover hard implies at all, but it is a different kind of hard.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's the Lyrical Breakdown, episode 2, with your boys, myself and Keith Buckley. This is Jamie Josta. Thank you so much for listening in. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Get us back in the algorithm God's good graces, if you'd be so kind. And if you don't skip this intro, you are my hero. Please check out our sponsors, Manscaped. They make a great beard and hair trimmer. Don't have hippie dick in 2023, bro. Use the code Josta, manscaped.com, and you're going to save 20% plus free shipping. Also want to thank our official Milwaukee Metal Fest sponsor, IndieMerchStore.com. You can head on over to IndieMerchStore.com. After the podcast today, you'll see they have restocks from everybody, whether it's the Misfits, Slayer, Lamb of God, or super fucking brutal death metal bands like Cattle Decapitation, Cannibal Corpse, and so many others. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code MMF23 and get your tickets to the Milwaukee Metal Fest, which is happening Memorial Day weekend at the Rave in Milwaukee. May 26th, 27th, and 28th, we're going to be announcing a band tonight. If you're listening to this on Friday, or maybe you're listening to this over the weekend, give the Instagram page a follow at Milwaukee Metal Fest Instagram. It's MKE Metal Fest. It's real easy to remember. Give us a follow, MKE Metal Fest on Instagram, and get your tickets at therave.com/metalfest. Day one is Dark Angel, Napalm Death, Dying Fetus, COC, Crowbar performing the self-titled album, 30th anniversary celebration of the Crowbar self-titled album, Saturday's Anthrax, Black Dahlia Murder, Suicidal Tendencies, Shadows Fall, and about 25 other bands, Sunday's Lamb of God, The Halo Effect, and just a ton of great bands. It's going to be a great weekend. Metal Fest is back, therave.com/metalfest for single, two-day, and three-day passes. Also check out martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. The link is always in the show notes, and we have fixed the link. So if it doesn't work, just shoot us a message, but I'm pretty sure it works. Martyrstore.net. Use the code MMF all weekend. You'll save on Crowbar zip-up hoodies, Corpse Grinder zip-up hoodies, Corpse Grinder vinyl. Ripper vinyl is back in stock. He signed another 50 copies if you love Mr. Tim Ripper Owens. Martyrstore.net. Link is in the show notes. One more thing before we get to the Lyrical Breakdown podcast, episode 2 with Keith Buckley. The new Sanguisuga Bog album is out now. It's called Homicidal Ecstasy. Big thank you to our new sponsor, Century Media Records. You can get the Coke bottle red and clear vinyl, which is limited. You can get it over at centurymedia.store. That's centurymedia.store. Sign up, you'll get 10% off when you sign up using your email. You'll see they have Lorna Shore vinyl over there, Devin Townsend Lightwork box set. Looks amazing. They got the Spirit World colored vinyl, and again, that Sanguisuga Bog Homicidal Ecstasy Coke bottle LP, which is on, it's up for pre-order. Big thank you to Century Media. All right, we are here on episode 2 of the Lyrical Breakdown with Keith Buckley. Now on to the show. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's episode 2 of the Lyrical Breakdown with Keith Buckley. Hi. Nick is on the 1 and 2s, and we got a bunch of people joining from Patreon who I will get to a shout out in the minute. But Keith, you want to explain this figure in your
background? I was going to say, and not only do we have people on Patreon, we also have somebody lurking in the background of my screen. That's our Christmas tree. But it was going to go out. What I got to do, we got a garbage bag over it. I got to chuck it off the balcony, and then I got to drag it into the woods. So I got a big day ahead of me today.
So wait, so it's a real tree. Yeah. You're not just protecting a plastic tree from dust.
No, before you put it away. No. Nor is it. Yeah. Nor is it like the ghost of my ex grandfather or something. It's just haunting me and overlooking my shoulder all the time. No, he, I got to just get rid of this tree. And it's worse because I saw this movie called Skinamarink. I don't know if anybody's seen that horror movie yet. But
no, but I need to check it out, I think.
Dude, it's truly like a true horror movie in that it doesn't show a lot, but the mood for like an hour and a half, you're just like, oh, there's something here. There's something here. And it feels like there's a big thing lurking behind you the entire time.
It's the one with the kids, right?
Yes, in this house. Yeah. It's so scary. It is so scary.
I gotta see it because I want to see that and Megan.
Oh yeah, that looks good. That's gonna be big on the internet. That's gonna have a lot of viral themes and stuff. I feel like that's what movies are going for now. Like, just get viral moments from the movies, get viral dances in there, get viral everything in there, you know? Make your movie viral. That's the point now. It's like, it's not even to make a good movie. It's to make a movie with enough stuff to go viral in it.
Well, I think the word of mouth on both of those movies is really good. Like any horror movie that's decent, I feel like can get word of mouth and make its budget back without having to do a ton of marketing. Although the Megan marketing, I think, will kick in. The marketing machine will kick in soon.
The Skinamarink marketing, I haven't even seen any. I just caught a trailer. I was like, this is the scariest trailer I've ever seen. So I'm not going to watch the movie. But then I had sort of watched every other movie around it. And I was like, oh, it's time for this one. So Angie and I buckled down and just sat in fear the whole time. But it's not go ahead.
Good. Now, when you go to the theater, do you get the extra butter on the popcorn? Yeah, are you one of these freaks that dump something into the bucket as well?
No, hold on. Let me show you what we just got at the theater. I'm going to bring
you
it
got, up. You got tricked into like a jumbo fucking Thanos tank or something like whatever the promotion of the day is.
Now, what you got here is an Avatar popcorn bucket. Okay. This is eBay gold in 20 years, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay. And it comes with an Avatar cup, okay, that has a lid, and the lid has an Avatar toy on it for kids. This is like the only marketing I've ever seen for Avatar ever. And all purchases go to charity anyways. It's amazing. Like, everything about this new Avatar is just so cool. Sorry. Okay.
See, anyway. I gotta get down with that because I thought it was too late, but now I'm seeing that the movie's actually good. I was going to say, I have some sort of popcorn marketing bucket here as well somewhere. It was for one of the it was like Rogue One. I think I got a Rogue One Star Wars bucket.
Yeah.
I think my parents still have a Batman cup from like McDonald's from like
That's
the
so
old
cool.
90s movies.
That's so cool. It still has
the logo on it.
That's so cool.
So it was dishwasher safe because that means that
that
logo's definitely like got the real good pollution in it. Like not the shitty
exactly.
Where it washes off.
No, that's those are persistent chemicals.
So today's episode, we are going to hear the opening track of the Molly Hatchet self-titled debut album, which came out September 1st of 1978. I was 1 year old when this came out.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was on.
I was still cum.
I like to say you were in the before.
Yeah, I was in the before, yeah.
I look at my nephew sometimes and I go, we knew each other, right? Like before you were in the before or when you were in the in between.
That's so cool.
And he smiles and laughs. I'm like, who were you from our past life,
dude? That's a relationship with your cousin?
With my nephew.
Oh, your nephew. Oh, that's so cool.
I said blink twice if we knew each other in a past life. We did.
How old is he? Like,
this was when he was like 14 months, but he's 18 months now.
Oh, amazing. That's so cool.
So the cover painting is famous because it's by Frank Frazetta, and I have a print of it somewhere here. And I was going to ask you before we listen to the song and discuss the lyrics, Was there ever one of these records where it looked so fucking hard that you were like, I don't care if I haven't heard of it or heard the band, I'm just going to buy it?
I did that with Neurosis. That's how I discovered Neurosis. Through Silver.
With the statue?
Yeah. 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 I think it was the statue. See, the thing is, whatever one Through Silver and Blood is on, I bought that one because the one that I wanted was too expensive or something. Like, I ended up just with the one Through Silver and Blood, but I was attracted to them because of their cover specifically. It was awesome. Yeah,
the one couple albums I think before that is the one with the famous, like, not, yes. I think it's like a Nosferatu statue or whatever. Through Silver and Blood, I think, is like some sort of snake.
Yes, it's like a snake eating itself with a red background thing. I'm gonna look it up right now, but.
Yeah, it's a great cover. So that ended up being pretty hard. Whereas with Molly Hatchet, when I bought this record, I thought I was getting like some sort of metal. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was gonna be like death metal or something, because I thought Molly Hatchet. But later on in life, I became a fan, and it turns out the lyrics are pretty fucking hard for this song Bounty Hunter, which we're about to discuss here. I'll just give you the first verse. My horse is kicking up dust off the trail. I'm just getting back from a trip to hell. My six gun, she's strapped by my side. Thunder is the horse that I ride. And it seems to me this is one hell of a way for a man like me to earn that pay.
Yeah,
that is fucking hard.
It is, but it also sounds like a Bob Dylan song. Like, you know, at this point, even if you're just reading it, you're like, oh, okay, this is like a fucking Johnny Cash, like, you know, just shot a man in Reno sort of thing. But no, it's fucking Molly Hatchet.
It's Molly Hatchet. It's fucking Southern rock. It's hard as nails. I mean, the chorus is outlaws on the loose, running from the noose.
Oh, man.
I'm a bounty hunter. I'll hunt you down. Yeah, I will.
Yeah. It's as if he knows that people aren't going to take him seriously at first. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. Don't worry about it.
Well, with lyrics like blue steel flashing, hot lead flying, I wonder what they feel like when they're dying. I mean, this could be Manowar. This could be...
Yeah,
Iron Maiden. It's very metal for being Southern rock.
That's crazy. I was just thinking Manowar. Yep, absolutely.
Right, just seeing the cover art, you think this could be like a Manowar style band.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. But they're not.
Now, Nick, can you look up what the exact beef with them and Lynyrd Skynyrd was? Because I had heard that they were from Florida and Lynyrd Skynyrd was from Jacksonville. So they were from such a southern point of Florida that they looked like Lynyrd Skynyrd were Yankees. That's like how North Jacksonville.
Right.
Huh. Like, imagine being like from, like, if you're from Key West, and our motherfuckers from Jacksonville Yankees, or our mother, I bet you I bet you they think some people from Miami are Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees in Miami.
But I'm pretty sure it's one of the more famous rock beefs. I don't know where it stemmed from, and I don't think this song is like in reference to it. I think this song is basically a Clint Eastwood movie in song form, which I love.
I didn't realize they were like a whole cowboy thing. Like, that's really all they are. Like, even their band photograph, if you just look up their band photograph, they're all dressed like cowboys holding like six, you know, but there's a horse in it. Yeah. They actually have a horse in their band photo. So these guys were trying to, like, in a time when they should have been doing classic rock, we're doing just fucking cowboys and Indians, like,
all right. So
LARPing.
I'm kind of seeing here that Lynyrd Skynyrd and Molly Hatchet were both from Jacksonville, and there's an argument of who was the first Southern rock band.
Get out of here.
Okay. So it wasn't like inner Florida, like you guys
it was inner Jacksonville.
It was Jacksonville beef.
Yeah.
Who's more north in Jacksonville itself? Okay, like this, for instance, I grew up in a town called West Seneca, but my high school was West Seneca East, and there was a West Seneca West. So West Seneca itself was divided up into two. So it sounds like this is that kind of beef. Like, dude, you're both from Jacksonville. Shut up. Like, it doesn't matter which one was better or first. You're both from the same thing at around the same time. But I get it. I get it. Boys, boys will be boys.
But also, I think maybe Skinner went much further, right? And got more world renowned. So maybe
he didn't insist on dressing like a cowboy. Although now that's how America views him.
So the current lineup of Molly Hatchet, the ones that we I think Frank is friends with one of them, and since Frank is in Florida, shout out to Frank from Hatebreed. They're the ones that we see at the airport. I think it's just the keyboardist who originally, and he's not an original. He originally joined in 1984. Mm-hmm. So there's no
not
original
the one we see at the airport.
One of the guys we see at the airport.
Right. I love that that is a point of reference that you're just going to have to, if you listen to this Patreon, that's just something you're going to have to accept. That's a point of reference that you're going to have to learn. He's not the one that you see at the airport.
And I think the reason why I bring it up is because they're active. You know, there's a demand.
They're
like
flying.
They're out there.
They're
seriously.
They're taking to the skies.
It's something that every band should aspire to, because And there's a bigger conversation to be had here, because if you resurrect a band like I think the Blackfoot incarnation that we have currently is no original members either. Like, it's not Ricky Matlock from Skinner. I think it's and Nick, I don't know, maybe you could look this up as well, and just so I'm not speaking out of term here, but I want to say Blackfoot plays with no original members. And they do well. I don't think as well as Molly Hatchet, because Molly Hatchet, let's face it, if you're having a chili cook-off, and this is not a diss, this is legit. These
coming
gigs
in hot, not a diss. If you're having a chili cook-off,
if you're having a fair in any county, whether it's West Seneca or West Seneca East, if you're having a rib cook-off,
right?
If you're having a rib cook-off in West Seneca East,
yeah.
I would imagine West Seneca West is going to be jealous if you get Molly
Hatchet. They are.
On
they
the
always
bill.
Were. They always were. West Seneca West, those motherfuckers were so jealous of us.
Also, we all know someone, Nick especially, and me especially. We all know someone. If any local venue, I don't care if it's the chili cook-off, the rib fest, I don't care if it's the Big E or the fucking Durham Fair, if Molly Hatchet gets announced, we're there, bro.
Okay,
I don't know if we're front row.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Every
somebody's
row is
buying
front
a turkey
row
leg
and concert.
Somebody's buying a turkey.
Yo,
leg.
That'll be me. That'll be me. I love turkey legs. I'll do it.
And you're waiting for Bounty Hunter to fucking kick in.
No, I'm waiting in the pit eating my turkey leg. Just passing the time.
And that, listen, they probably make more than like the current hot media darling band.
Absolutely. They have a built-in fan base. They're doing it right.
Yeah. And the shit lives on. The catalog lives on. The legacy of Molly Hatchet lives on. So I give respect to the guys currently doing it, John Galvin, Bobby Ingram, Steve Beamer, Tim Lindsay, who I think joined, or Jimmy Elkins joined in 2019.
Dude, your knowledge of music is just mind-blowing. But
well, I was just reading that off the website.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't
your knowledge
Google.
Of websites is mind-blowing. Your knowledge of Google, of how to use Google, is mind-blowing.
Let's go to the chat here and shout out all of our Patreon members. And remember, if you're on All Access or more, you can join us every week for the Lyrical Breakdown, or you can just sign up and hear them after we post this. But we are trying to let everybody join live. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Kewen says, in Northwest New Jersey in Sussex County, they have a Ribs and Rock Fest every year.
Get
and
out
Molly,
of here.
Molly Hatchet or 38 Special is there.
Well. What month is that usually? What's the travel going to be like? 38
Specials also from Jacksonville.
Oh!
Yeah.
Dude, Jacksonville is nasty.
For real.
Think about all the music that came out of there. It's nasty. Allman Brothers too, dude. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
So what you're saying is that basically in the late 70s, Jacksonville was like a non-depressed Seattle.
Right.
Correct. Right.
Like as far as just blowing up with hot rock,
fucking
lead flying.
Uh-huh. And then Limp Bizkit. Like a few years later, you know, a few decades later.
Has anybody from 38 Special, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Molly Hatchet, or the Allman Brothers ever given Limp Bizkit their due as far as, you know, giving them that Jacksonville cosign?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. It's unfortunate. I think Fred Durst is a really, really cool dude. Okay, I'm just going to say that. I think he's playing the game perfectly. I think he knows exactly what he's doing with his life. I think he's making all the right choices. And I wish the best for Fred Durst. I really mean it.
Is this because Fred kind of did the let me disappear for a minute when he was overexposed?
Yes, that's exactly right. And then he came back with a new look and he's like, I don't care what you say about my new look. This is my new look. And then he just went with it, you know? He's cool. Cool people.
And then all the new kids who didn't realize he was very overexposed and he was like, he was nuclear, right? Like you didn't want to touch it. Like you didn't want to be associated.
Right. Right.
It was cheese dick.
And you know what he did?
Too cheese dick.
It was way too cheese dick. And you know what he did while he waited out? He made movies and stuff. Like he did cool shit while he waited.
He did, right? He did like a movie with Ice Cube, but it's not a good movie with Ice Cube, but it's a movie nonetheless.
It's a movie. Yes. And then he did the one about a Punisher. Did you see it? It was about a super fan who gets like violent and aggressive and stuff.
Oh, with Travolta. I did see it. And we purposely avoided. I think we purposely avoided doing an episode of How Awesome Is This about it because we had a show coming up with Limp Bizkit. And I was like, I can't shit on this movie and then go do the show.
It's not even shittable. It's a good movie.
Come on.
No, I'm not kidding. It's a good movie. That's what I'm saying. It's a good movie. So you're like, oh, wait, this dude knows what he's doing. Oh, okay. His past makes sense now. His present makes sense now. Like it's not so much what he did, but what he did after that validates what he did before. You know what I mean? It's a weird way that works with artists.
You just guaranteed your appearance on the How Awesome Is This podcast because
I'll watch it with you.
Well, Howard, I think Howard and I were like, this is the worst fucking movie. And so you can be the voice.
All right,
of
counterpoint.
Maybe, yes. Yes. Counterpoint, Keith.
So a now counterpoint, Keith.
We're booking new podcasts. We're off to a great start here because really, Fred might, you know, who knows? Maybe Fred will come on the podcast just based off your support.
I hope he does. Movie with Travolta. I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to tell him what a nice job he's doing.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the Lyrical Breakdown with Keith Buckley and myself. If you like what you hear, sign up at the Patreon, patreon.com/Josta. You will get this and other weekly exclusive podcasts over at patreon.com/Josta and at the all access and executive producer tier. You can join us every week for podcasts on StreamYard. We send out a private link. There's a ton of content over there. patreon.com/Josta. Now back to the show.
Yeah.
If he had done the triple X with Ice Cube, it would have been too on the nose, right? People would have been like, oh yeah, dude. Now you're doing like the movie equivalent of like your music. Whereas if he does the family friendly Ice Cube family road trip movie, if I'm remembering the movie correctly, it's like, oh, he's got a different lane. He's in a totally different lane.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, Paul, he took that beating that Limp Bizkit got and he took it with grace, I think. And, you know, Limp Bizkit's kind of like on act two, I guess, with this new record. So, you know, they did something original in the first place and now they're trying to change it up again. I mean, I think that's awesome. I just don't think artists are making big enough leaps like that anymore. So shout out to Fred Durst for doing so. I don't like, I'm not saying I love Limp Bizkit, but I will say that I did when I was younger. I absolutely loved Limp Bizkit for sure. That $2 bill, boy, that record blew my socks off when I was a kid.
That was hitting the tape deck?
Yeah.
On those long rides?
Yep. When I was a kid, absolutely. Yep.
So
yeah, I was like 16.
I expected you to go full puns for that whole thing. Like I thought for sure you were working towards something. I thought you were going to be like, yeah, you know, Fred's just... rolling in a different direction.
No. I'm not. I don't have an agenda here. I was just saying, I think that there's just a lot of people now that are coming out. I don't know. I feel like people are starting to really get out of the pandemic fog finally, you know what I mean? And like find their feet again. And like, you know, you see people doing what you knew them for before, but some
all right.
people can't.
I know what this
better.
Is all for. I know what this is all what? For. That what? White thing in back of you is actually Fred Durst, and he's going to pop
up. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Durst.
Fred Durst should absolutely direct a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. And when, because this was the one of the worst parts in the Travolta movie, when his music came on in yeah. the car with the guy, then when he, I was like, come on, dude, really? You had to put your own music in the movie. So then I was thinking, if he directs the Chainsaw Massacre, then right as we first see Leatherface with the chainsaw, you know, a pack of chainsaw,
yeah.
I skin your ass raw. Yeah. And then we're like, oh man, Fred's at it at his old tricks again.
The chainsaw, instead of saying saw the saw his family on it, it'll just say Nookie. And then he just does it all.
Yes. We got off track, but I want to say Molly Hatchet. If you're gonna check out Molly Hatchet for the first time, this is a great introductory song. I think it's a great opener. And if you listen to the album front to back, which I did yesterday, there's no other song on the album that you really could open the album with, because I also feel like this is your set opener. Nick, do you want to do you want to give us a little bit of it?
Sure. Hold on.
Oh, wait. Can you pause it?
It's shaking so, his camera. It's rocking his camera.
I've never seen Molly Hatchet live, except I caught a couple songs at Sweden Rock. I caught a couple songs at the end. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, if there's a kabuki backdrop or something with the Death Dealer on it. My dream Molly Hatchet live set would be you walk up to the stage and they got one of those backdrops in the front, the lights go down, and it's got to have the Frank Frazetta,
I love that,
you know,
yeah,
Death Dealer.
Did he do all of their covers?
I think he did.
Yeah, it looks like his art on all of them, but anyway, that's not important. I was just curious.
I have this album at home, by the way, like on vinyl.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So many people bought this album just strictly based off the Frazetta cover. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those albums that might have helped people just become a fan of the band. That's how good the cover is. I mean, again, I paid a lot of money for just a print of the cover. I have it here somewhere. And I have all those Death Dealer comics, too.
Oh, yeah?
With the cool. Frazetta art on it. But so my thinking is the lights go down and this fucking riff kicks in, and then when the beat kicks in, the kabuki drops, and you're off to fucking Gator Country, Buster.
Oh yeah, you're in Gator Country now. Dude, yeah, this is not what the car implies at all, but it is a different kind of hard. Yeah, but you know what? Back then, maybe that's what this did imply, because this is hard.
I mean, if Kurt and Crowbar doesn't cover this and tune it down to fucking B...
Right.
It'll be so hard, and with his voice, and going, Thunder!
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
The greatest question I think ever asked in a song ever is coming up. Turn it up, Nick. Here we go.
Yeah, crank this part.
I mean, think about back then how heavy and loud this was.
Yeah, but yes, I could see it in a Rodney Dangerfield montage. You know, like Rodney King.
I mean, dude is shredding.
Yeah.
Hardest line ever coming up. We love a good bridge breakdown.
Gotta have a good bridge, yeah.
I love that he pronounces it blowed.
It will. It's like he's reading the lyrics off the page as he's recording them.
So fucking good. So I looked up the set list. They did a show last year, October, at Northern Lights Theater, Milwaukee. They open with Whiskey Man. Bounty Hunter is second. Gator Country is third.
Wow, that's a... That is a combo you do not recover from if you're a fan. That you're knocked on your ass by that point.
I mean, that's talk about a hard, like, if you're going for a hard Southern rock three piece, if you're going for that fried chicken, fried gator bite three piece out of the gate, Whiskey Man, Bounty Hunter, Gator Country, that's hard.
Yeah. It really
is. I'm surprised. I thought for sure when we got on here today, you were going to say, speaking of Molly Hatchet, I was just at the Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel.
Dude. I don't get out to Batavia very much, especially with the snow. I don't go to Batavia Downs. But I do remember that in high school and part of college, I had one friend who was always going to Batavia to pay a parking ticket. And it was always irritating him. Like, Bob, what are you doing this weekend? I gotta go to fucking Batavia to pay a fucking parking ticket. That's everything. Every time you ask him what he's doing, I gotta go fucking Batavia to pay a fucking parking ticket. So that's what I know Batavia for.
if it wasn't Batavia, I thought Batavia Downs, right? Where the horses, where the horses run?
Yeah.
If it wasn't there, I thought for sure it was going to be that other place where we did like Warped Tour and Ozfest many times.
Darien Lake.
Molly Hatchet seems like they could have been a staple at Darien Lake.
Dude, they could play 10 nights at Darien Lake, I bet. 10 nights. Dude, Go ahead. No, I don't have a good story. I'm really glad you interrupted because it was going to be a bad story. So go ahead.
I mean, Six Flags, we have the one in Springfield. I think the only rockin' show they ever did was Megadeth, and I think it was a one and done. But Molly Hatchet at Six Flags, dude, I'm there.
Dude, I bet if you asked them to play the guitar next to you on the roller coaster, they would. You know, they just seem like after they get done with the concert, they just still want to go hang out and just riff. They'll just walk around the amusement park, just unplugged guitars, noodling, just to keep their fingers going.
I wonder if we could start a GoFundMe to have like Molly Hatchet come and play like Lake Compounds or.
Dude, what if you could start a GoFundMe to pay Molly Hatchet to come and hang out with you at an amusement park?
I mean,
and then you just film it.
The metal dude's doing non-metal things because Molly Hatchet's basically metal. I know it's classic rock, but if you put that through a different distortion, that's fucking hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do we have Nick reamp the Molly Hatchet? Reamp.
Can you re-record?
Can you reamp Bounty Hunter for us right now?
Yo, I'm not lying, Jamie. I think that if you can find a way to document a day at an amusement park with you and Molly Hatchet, I just think it would be a smash. Like, people would love to watch that. That'd be fucking awesome.
Seriously, I need to hang out with Molly Hatchet. I think February 4th. Can we fly down for what is this? Let's see. February 4th.
Where are they at?
They're doing something at Harley Davidson Port Charlotte.
Okay, so they'll be in the airport.
Doghouse Bar and Concert Venue, Port Orange, Port Charlotte, Hudson Falls, New York, at the Strand.
Hudson Falls, huh? That's out there.
March 17th.
That's closer to you.
Yeah. I mean, dude, they got dates. They're booked, man. There's
a demand. There's a demand for Molly Hatchet.
Always.
Not just an interest, not just a curiosity, a fucking demand.
They're going to the UK in July.
Then we're going to the UK in July.
Dude.
Imagine seeing them overseas.
I did at Sweden Rock. Yeah, just the last couple songs.
They never were on a festival we were on ever.
They're great. Time to Rock. They're playing in July. They're going back to Sweden. They're doing Hanover, Germany in November. They already, dude, they're booked into 2024.
Because
it's fucking Molly Hatchet.
Smart. Dude, they know. Like, okay, what do you think? Not that this matters, but it's just, there's so many anomalies. What do you think, what tax bracket do you think they're in personally?
Oh, like, they're paid.
You think so? You think like multiple houses paid or just a nice house? Really?
Yeah. See that? Especially if they own the pub. Like if they had to deal with the past members where, I mean, I don't know if Nick wants to pull up the streaming numbers, but I'm sure Molly Hatchet is getting those streams too.
Yeah.
They were on Epic Records. Their album went 5 times platinum. This album, the debut, I'm pretty sure is like 4 or 5 times platinum.
And that's when selling records fucking paid, you know?
For sure.
But
on the scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the hardest, I mean, this has to be a 10 out of 10 hardest lyrics ever. It's basically the lyrical equivalent of fucking, what's the one with Clint Eastwood where he's like the ghost? Is that a spoiler?
No, but I was thinking Gran Torino, but I just know that as being, he's super racist.
No, I'm talking like the Western days.
Oh, geez.
I love that you just throw out a modern.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
He just throws out the racist Clint Eastwood.
That's how I know him now. That's the thing about being racist. If you end up racist, you were always racist. That's the truth, you know? And if you're racist at any point in your life, you've always been. So fuck Clint Eastwood.
High Plains Drifter.
Okay. That's hard. I know that as a Beastie Boy song. Yeah. High Plains Drifter.
All right. So Beastie Boys, that's 73.
Really?
That's 73 that came out.
Wow.
Clint Eastwood stated that his character of the stranger in this film was not the ghost of Marshall who was killed before the film's opening, but was in fact Marshall's brother. That's even harder. Wow. And Mariana Hill was, let me tell you, she was a piece back. She was, dude, Google Mariana Hill. Yeah. With all respect, dude. Yeah. I mean, she was a cutie. All
right.
Before we get out of here.
I got yelled at by a horrible, horrible woman this morning. So I can use all the eye candy I can get here. I already forgot the name to look up.
Before we get out of here, Keith, where can they find you?
I'm sorry.
Tell us, Nick.
On Spotify, their highest song has 41 million plays.
Jeez!
Monthly, they have 480,000.
Oh my goodness. Right.
And Bounty Hunters.
Get it to 500,000. After this podcast, we're getting it to 500,000. Hey, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Use the promo code JOST at manscaped.com and you will save 20% plus get free shipping on their awesome beard and hair trimmers. They even have nose hair trimmers. They got nail clippers. They got deodorant. They got shampoo, conditioner, lip balm. I use all their products and I love them. Manscaped.com. Promo code JOSTA will get you free shipping plus 20% off. Now back to the show.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing about like bands from this era. I really feel now they're super accessible, you know, like they just kind of want to stay relevant. And that's not a bad thing, you know, but that means they'll try different shit. So I bet you can get them on this show. I bet. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
And I'm a full supporter of keeping the catalog and the legacy alive. Mm-hmm. Especially if there's somebody new and ambitious, as long as they're performing the songs to the level of the previous members,
of course,
and they're doing it justice and they're really
doing justice,
bringing it live. Because there have been bands that you think like someone's just not replaceable, and then all of a sudden they bring in some young, hungry person who's like, look at Kiko in Megadeth. Even the most staunch fucking Marty Friedman stands. Mm-hmm. will watch Kiko do those solos and go, damn, Kiko's fucking nice.
He rips. Yeah. He rips.
So Blackfoot is currently playing, and they were formed. Wow. I think Blackfoot predates them all. Formed in Jacksonville, Florida, 1969.
Dang, dude. If you're born in 1969, you're blessed. For everything started in that era is just amazing.
Like, you had the good steak back then. You had the good cigs. Like, you could really live. Like, the cigs. You never see. How long did you smoke cigs for, Keith?
Total in my life, probably about, 7 years, maybe. Like, just a little over five. Yeah, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe, when I was younger.
But you, what was the era? Like, what was the time frame? They had already added all the chemicals, or were you like an American Spirit type?
I don't know if this was true or not, but I believed it. So that's all that matters. I got Canadian cigarettes because I live in Buffalo, so they're closer. And I heard they were natural. So I would always ask, like, which one, you know, after a while you'd learn that, like, the John Players are the Canadian ones. So you get those because it's apparently more natural.
Wow. So you weren't a roll your own. I would have totally thought you were a roll your own type.
No, I tried that shit. You know who tried to get me into that? Rob Caggiano, when he was in the Damn Things, tried to get me into rolling my own cigarettes. I'm like, Rob, you're obviously making a mess. Like, look at this table in front of you. I could just go buy a cigarette. Like, so no, I was turned off.
Cash strikes me as a roll your own type of guy.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Like, just in a deep thought, like licking it.
Yeah, just thinking about playing a solo.
Dude, so let's go to the chat, and we'll shout out everybody before we're out of here. And thanks for joining us on episode 2.
Yes,
Andy Wilson, Chris Espicia, Joe Lopez, Nick, it doesn't say, Nicholas doesn't say what your last name is, so we'll get your shout out on the next one. Warren Lassiter, Paul Scally, Jeff Stevenson, Chris Shea, Jeffrey Kewen, and let's go to the chat here. Jeff Kewen says, Mariana is still alive. She'll be 81 in February. So, dude, if she's at any convention appearances, I need a signed 8x10. And then, what do you do? Are you a creep? Like, if you get the 8x10 signed, like, do you have her write?
Yeah,
like,
you're a creep.
Dear Keith,
but it's okay.
Back in the day, we would have.
Yeah, she was in The Baby, which I don't know if anybody has seen The Baby from 1973, but it's so fucked up. So aside from High Plains Drifter, same year she made a movie called The Baby, which is amazing.
I'm gonna go watch that too. Joe Lopez in the chat says Molly Hatchet for Milwaukee Metal Fest. Dude, that's actually a really good idea, because
that is a great idea.
I've been seriously thinking about making Pat Travers an offer. So there you go. That could be the bridge type of, because I think there's crossover between Pat Travers band fans and Molly Hatchet.
There's a crossover between Hatebreed fans and Molly Hatchet. You don't even have to go through anybody else. You have the ratio right there yourself. Just take the advantage
airport.
Of it.
That's all it is.
Yeah, go to the airport. Okay, this is what you do. You go to the airport, you make a sign, and you act like you're his driver. Okay, and you just wait for him, and then he's like, "Oh, I don't know, he's gonna give me a driver."
Just take him to the show.
McDonald's. Yeah, yeah.
Take him right to the show. We take him right to the Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Yeah, he doesn't even know he's playing.
Jeff Kewen writes, rockribsandridges.com, June 23rd to the 25th, Artemis Pyle 38th special, Blackberry Smoke. Dude,
nice.
I'm gonna have to have a rib cook off area at Milwaukee Metal Fest. I feel like.
Can you say that again? Did you say Blackberry Smoke is playing? Did you say that?
Yeah. It's June 23rd to 25th at rockribsandridges.com.
So weird.
Paul Scally.
I was going to talk about Blackberry Smoke earlier. It's so weird. Have you ever heard them?
Yes. I would say that no Molly Hatchet, no Blackberry Smoke.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say. And it's so strange of all the bands to use Blackberry Smoke is what I was going to say. That band is so amazing. And I feel like it's the Molly Hatchet reinvented, like modernized, you know?
I feel like just saying the name makes me want to start vaping.
Dude, I can't wait. to get some
shout out to Fume, by the way. I covered the logo, but I think what we'll do is we'll try to get them as a sponsor to this show, and then you can try Fume and you can let me know. So I better uncover the logo, because they weren't a sponsor, but maybe now they are a sponsor by the time this airs. So maybe Fume needs to send us a blackberry smoke Fume, which is it's natural. Love though. They're only doing like essential oils. There's no burning. It's just like
the fumes
that come off of, like, I don't really, I'm not explaining the product good. So
I'll look it up.
But I went to officialblackfoot.com and there is a message here posted: due to unfortunate circumstances, the 2021-2022 lineup of Blackfoot has stepped down from representing the brand Blackfoot. Oh. And we would like to thank Ricky Medlock for the opportunity and all the fans for your love and support. We love the music and hope to see it live on. See you on the road. So look, that might have been the litmus test, and maybe it only worked for a little bit of time, but with all the metal bands that have reunited, and with all the rock, southern rock bands that have reunited, and with all these festivals going on, and with all these county fairs going on, I don't mind. I know this, I know the elitists are like, fuck that. I want to see fucking, you know,
don't listen to
so-and-so with this group.
Doesn't matter what that person wants to see.
But let's keep the music and the message alive of all these great songs and great bands, because live music, there's nothing compares. I don't care. You go to a show. I even stop and listen to people playing on the street.
Like, it's just energy. It's just energy. I mean, if you really just want to break it down in the simplest form, it's just energy. The energy of a show is unlike anything else in the world, and it's very specific to the band that is playing. And every band has their own energy at a show, and it's all amazing in certain ways. But, you know, you can't get it from listening to a song on the radio. You have to be in the room.
You can't. And it's fun when someone with a name who you are also a fan of will join in. So like, yeah, maybe you were bummed that it wasn't Slash and it wasn't Duff for a little bit. But if you were a diehard Buckethead fan, you were like, yo, I'm going to see GNR.
Happy. With Buckethead. Yeah.
Featuring.
Bragger featuring. Yeah. Starring.
Fuck yeah. All right, Keith, where can they find you?
Death of the Party on Twitter, and on Twitter there's a link to like my link tree, which has all the other things, all other stuff you might be interested in. But
maybe we got to do a lyrical breakdown for a Limp Bizkit song for episode 3, bro.
Okay,
because you're really riding, you're really rolling with Fred.
I am, and I'll tell you, you want me to tell you, I could tell you a personal Fred Durst story, or you, I can save it till next time.
No, tell us, because I feel I'm getting dad vibes galore from you right now.
when I was 15, Limp Bizkit opened up for Korn at a concert venue in a suburb of Buffalo. Really strange place to play. I had never seen a concert there before. I've never seen one since. But we went, and Limp Bizkit had demos, because they weren't a band really. They were just coming out. So they had the demos, and inside Fred Durst gave his address. So the friend that I went with got the demo and wrote him a letter, and Fred Durst wrote back like within a week. It was awesome. I'm not saying he would do that now. Obviously fame changes people, but the fact that he was the kind of guy to do that, you know, means that he has the moral character to be a good person still. So it's cool. I respect that.
Well, that gives me a new faith.
Yeah.
In Fred.
You gotta have faith, you know.
You know, maybe he'll come on the podcast. Hey, listen, I'll reach out again.
Dude, 2023, anything goes. Anything goes in 2023. You just take the chances.
Well, if I had it my way, I would want. Okay. I don't want Fred on the podcast.
All right, I gotta go.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of the Lyrical Breakdown podcast with Keith Buckley. We'll be back next week. I guess leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube, or you're on Patreon, or you're leave a 5-star on iTunes, but leave a comment which lyrics from Limp Bizkit we should break down for episode 3.
And I'll think of some if nobody else thinks of the ones that I specifically would like to talk about. Nothing.
I think we
I'm
go
full
for...
of ideas about Limp Bizkit. Okay, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me my opinion on Limp Bizkit. I'll see you next time.
I had another pun, but I'm not going to go. Yeah, all right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye. Love you guys. See you. God bless.
Love you. Bye. Thanks, brother.
Peace.
If you are still listening, this is a little outro letting you know that we appreciate your support. And if you want episode 3 of the Lyrical Breakdown, you can hear it first on patreon.com/josta. We appreciate all you guys who have given us a 5-star review on iTunes. Keep them coming if you would. Get us back in the algorithm. Good graces. And tell your friends about the podcast. We will also be announcing more bands on the Milwaukee Metal Fest tonight. If you're listening to this on Friday or over the weekend, head on over to MKE Metal Fest on Instagram or give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/Milwaukee Metal Fest. Tickets are on sale now. We have 1-day, 2-day, and 3-day passes. Go to therave.com/Metal Fest for your tickets. The link will be in the show notes. And yeah, I want to thank manscaped.com. Use the promo code JOSTA for 20% off plus free shipping. I use their beard trimmer. I just shaved the armpits this morning. I had hippie pits. Can't have those hippie pits. Got to shave them. Manscaped.com, promo code JOSTA. And we have a sale going on this weekend to celebrate the additions to the Milwaukee Metal Fest lineup over at martyrstore.net. The link is in the show notes. MARTYRSTORE.net. Use the code MMF for 15% off this weekend. And got to thank Century Media. Really appreciative of their support. I was checking out centurymedia.store earlier today. I saw they have that Spirit World vinyl. That album's awesome. Sanguisugabog. Century Media has been on a roll. This Homicidal Ecstasy Coke Bottle LP is up for pre-order. They also have the Lorna Shore double LP. You'll see the Devin Townsend box set. Tribulation Black Vinyl pre-order is up now for the new EP. Head on over to centurymedia.store. Link will be in the show notes. And last but certainly not least, our official Milwaukee Metal Fest sponsor, IndieMerchStore.com, who has a ton of restocks and a ton of great pre-orders and other accessories, items, merch, t-shirts, hoodies, zip hoodies, flags, pins, all sorts of apparel. Head on over to IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code MMF23 and you will save this weekend and next week. MMF23 at IndieMerchStore.com. All right, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. We have a Josta Show episode with Sid Wilson from Slipknot and Ross Robinson, producer extraordinaire. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scollard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jamie Kutcher, Ryan Underkoffler, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Ahrensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Ryan St, Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase, Guy on the Couch, Chris Winchester, Antonio Reyes, Joe Otson, Dustin Stone, Lee Walker, Ryan Levson, John Henkes, Robert Bushaw, Troy Seal, Mark Horror Armenta, Jay Liberston, Nick Fowler, Mike Horgan, Emma Horgan, Arnarok, Patrick King, Oscar Brummett, Stacy Steineke, Fernando Somoza, Patrick O'Brien, Dominique Zimmer, Ryan Sanders, Lara Snyder, Daniel Burt, Adam Boss.